Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Man, I can't tell you how excited I am for today, because maybe you don't know this, but today, this is the result of more than a year of prayer, more than a year of planning, and more than a year of preparing for where God wants to take us next. And so today is a big day. Everybody should have received an Unleashed booklet. Does anybody not have a booklet? We want to get one in your hands this morning. If you don't have one, just raise your hand up real high and one of our ushers will bring you one. This booklet is your best friend, okay? So we want you to put your name in it. If you just open it right up, there's a spot for your name. Put your name in it. Own this booklet. Okay, it's full of tons of information unpacking what Unleashed is and how you can play a part in it. And then it also has spaces for you to take notes during the sermon. We're going to be on page 30 today. There's life group curriculum in here for your small group. And then you'll notice that there is a card attached to this, a commitment card. I want you to take this card, and I want you to put this in a safe place. Or at a place where you're going to see it, maybe on the bedside table, maybe on the dashboard of your car, maybe on the mirror, tape it to the mirror of your bathroom. I want you to keep this card close, because this is how everybody at the end of this series is going to respond to God's call on your life, okay? And so what I want you to do now is I just want you to have this somewhere where you can see it, put it in your Bible, pray, God, how do you want to unleash your presence? How do you want to unleash your power and your grace through me in this season? And you just start praying that prayer and seeking the Lord to see how he wants to use you to accomplish things above and beyond what you could ever imagine. Now, there are certain moments in history that are so significant that they completely alter the trajectory of the future, that they completely reshape what is possible to come. And so when I think about moments like that, I think about like the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, right? The Second Continental Congress deciding, you know what, we're going to become sovereign independent states. We're not going to be governed by a monarch over on the other side of the ocean. And just that moment in history just reshaped the trajectory of what could come. Right, I think about President Lincoln and the executive order known as the Emancipation Proclamation. Right, just by his conviction that all men are created equal, that no person should be the property of any other person, issued an executive order that liberated in that moment 3,000 people who were enslaved in the United States. Right, or I think about John F. Kennedy in 1961 making a speech before the nation, saying, you know, by the end of the decade, we're going to put a man on the moon. Right, which is this incredible vision that we had no idea how to accomplish, or even if it was possible to accomplish, but everybody came together and everybody moved toward that one goal. And 8 years later, the eagle had landed, right? 8 years later, you remember the one-liner, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, right? The possibilities, what people thought, man, could be possible for the future was completely transformed in that moment. There's some moments in history that are so significant, they just change everything. And that's what this is about, church, because we are in one of those moments today. That's what Unleashed is all about. So Unleashed is a 2-year generosity initiative. All right, and the purpose of this is to up our game so that we can cooperate with God in accomplishing the vision and plans that he has for our church. So this is a 6-week series on generosity, and its aim is for each and every one of us, everybody who calls Rush Creek home, to take our faith to a new level, to surrender more to Jesus and to extend our generosity, right? So that we can work with God in pushing back the darkness. And the truth is, this world is full of darkness. Right now, today, there are 5.3 billion people in this world living without the hope of Christ. 5.3 billion people living and dying without the hope of Jesus. In our world today, there are 2 billion people who have no gospel witness whatsoever. They have no access to the scriptures. They have no access to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ whatsoever, completely cut off from the hope of eternal life. That's darkness. Even here in the United States, 260 million Americans living their life day to day without Jesus Christ. Or you look out at the and survey the churches, and reports demonstrate that 90% of the churches in the United States have either plateaued or they are in decline. See, there's darkness all around us, and the darkness is encroaching, trying to quench the light. But here's the thing, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. So that's what Unleashed is all about. It's about you and me cooperating with God to push back the darkness, to advance the gospel, to see as many lives as possible transformed by the good news of Jesus. That's what Unleashed is all about. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be taking a journey through the book of Acts. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All right, and the book of Acts tells the story, of the early church, right from its birth at Pentecost, and it traces the advancement of the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the known world. And it's an incredible story that God is still unfolding today. You and I, we are still playing a part in the unfolding of this incredible story of redemption. All right, so Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that's where we're going to be today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, but you, this is Jesus speaking to his church right before he ascends into heaven. So resurrected Jesus speaking to the few who follow him. He says, you will receive power. Y'all say power. Yeah, say it powerfully. Come on, power. That's what I'm talking about. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. Y'all say witnesses. All right, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Incredible moment in the history of the church where Jesus sets up this little band of disciples with this vision that's far bigger than any one of them. You, uneducated common men, you are going to turn the world upside down because you are going to be filled with the power of my Spirit, and you are going to advance the gospel. You're going to take the light of Christ to the ends of the earth. That's how this story begins. And Jesus is talking about unleashing the gospel on the world, locally, regionally, and even globally. And so I just want to give you three takeaways from this text with our time together this morning. And the first one is this: when the gospel is unleashed, we are empowered by the Spirit. When the gospel is unleashed, we are empowered by the Spirit. Everybody who has trusted Jesus has been filled with the powerful presence of his Holy Spirit. I think we take that for granted, right? Because this Holy Spirit is the same power and Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right? Jesus died. He was really dead, buried in a tomb, right? Not breathing, not thinking, not feeling, dead. And the Holy Spirit of God resurrected him to new life. That's power. That's miraculous, supernatural power. And the Bible says, you and I and all who call on Jesus for salvation, we have been filled with that same power. The Holy Spirit has empowered you and me. I want to show you this picture of this woman. This woman, her name is Hetty Green. Hetty Green lived in the late 1800s during the Gilded Age, and she was the richest woman in America. The richest woman in America. When she died, her net worth was somewhere between $100 and $200 million, which translated in today's terms meant she was worth anywhere from $2.2 to $4.4 billion. All right, this was the richest woman in America. She was so wealthy, in fact, that the city of New York had called on her multiple times to give them a loan to bail them out of bad economic situations. This woman was incredibly affluent and incredibly wealthy, but she lived as if she was severely impoverished. As a matter of fact, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most miserly woman who has ever lived. All right, so she was of incredible wealth, but lived as if she was destitute and in poverty. There's these crazy stories about things that she did. One night, she spent all night searching her carriage for a 2-cent stamp that she had misplaced. She spent all night looking for a 2-cent stamp. Right, there's stories of she owned one dress. It's the dress that you see her wearing. She wore the same undergarments every day till they wore out. Only then would she replace them. When she had her clothes laundered, she would instruct the launderer only to wash the dirtiest parts of her dress because she wanted to save money on soap. All right, this is how this woman lived. Her son had injured his leg severely, needed medical attention, but she wanted to skimp on the medical costs, and so she didn't really take care of him the way that she could have because she wanted to save money, and then years later, he had to have his leg amputated. All right, so this is a woman, it makes no sense, right, of incredible wealth, the richest woman in America, but living as if she's completely impoverished. And I share that story with you because I feel like oftentimes Christ followers, we're full of the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, but we live as if we're spiritually impoverished. We live as if we don't have a great hope. We live as if we don't have the ability to walk in victory. We live as if God can't accomplish great things through us for his glory and the good of others. We live as if God can't go above and beyond whatever we ask or think. And listen, church, it's time for us to tap into that power. It's time for us to embrace the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in us. It's time for us to take our faith and our surrender and our generosity to the next level. It's time for us to walk in victory, and it's time for us to be fruitful, more fruitful than we've ever been for the glory of Jesus. When the gospel is unleashed, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Number two is this. When the gospel is unleashed, we share our personal story, right? You will receive power. Power for what? To be my witnesses is what Jesus says. You will receive power to be my witnesses. Everybody in this room has a story. You have a story. Your story is unique to you. It's not the same as the person next to you. It's not the same as my story. Everybody has a unique story. And our stories all have different components and backgrounds to them. Some of us, our stories begin in hardship. Right, like the circumstances and situation that we were raised in, certain things that we've experienced in life, or bad choices that we've made that have led to unintended consequences. Some of us have stories that are marked by hardship. Some of us have stories marked by struggle, trying to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck, wanting to take a step forward, but feeling like every time you take a step forward, you take two steps back, stuck. Right, some of us have stories that are marked by heartache, right? Loss of a child, loss of a spouse, experience of divorce. Some of us, our stories have components of disappointment, where dreams that we had never came to fruition, goals that we had were never achieved. Some of us have stories marked by success, and we just climbed the ladder and accomplished our goals and achieved our dreams, but did it without Jesus and got to the top and still felt empty. But here's something I know about you, is that no matter what your story looked like, when you met Jesus and your story intersected with his story, your story became a transformed story. And so now your story is a story of hope, right? Hope of eternal life, hope of victory in Jesus, hope of freedom from sin. Right, your story is now a story of healing, God mending your broken heart, God putting you back together piece by piece. Right, your story is a story of freedom, right? No longer enslaved to fear, no longer enslaved to your past decisions or experiences, but free now in Jesus. It's a story of restoration, right? God at work in you day in and day out, making you more like Jesus. When your story met his story, it became a transformed story. And now your story is the story of God creating something beautiful out of the ashes. Amen? Your story is unique, and your story is a powerful testimony to the power of the grace of Jesus. And hear me when I say this, God has given you his Holy Spirit so that you would have the strength, so that you would have the courage, so that you would have the words you need to speak the truth about Christ to a needy, spiritually deficient world. How have you seen or experienced the power of Christ in your life? And who are you speaking to about his wonder and grace? Listen, church, God is inviting you and me to play a part in him unleashing the gospel in this church and through this church in a way we have never experienced before. And that's why our primary goal for this whole initiative is 100% engagement. We want 100% of the people in this room, 100% of the people at each of our campuses taking a step closer to Jesus, experiencing his grace in a new and profound way that leaves us changed for his glory and the good of people that we don't even know yet. God's inviting us to participate. When the gospel is unleashed, we share our personal story. And the last one is this: when the gospel is unleashed, we participate in his grand purpose. See, there's two big questions everybody has to ask and everybody has to answer in life. The first question is this: like, what on earth am I here for? What is my life about? Why do I exist? What is this whole thing about, right? Is it about just working 9 to 5 every week so I can pay the bills until the day I die? What is life about? Just setting some goals and trying to achieve them? Is it about amassing, you know, great things for myself? Like, what on earth am I here for? You have to answer that question. And if you look to the scriptures, it's very clear. God tells us the reason that we exist is that we might know him. God created you and me in a unique way with a special capacity that's unique to human beings, that we could know him and be known by him. The purpose of your life is to have a relationship with the God who created you. And it's only when you come to that understanding, it's only when you come to that realization and you enter into that relationship through Jesus Christ that you can understand your life's purpose. We got to answer that question: what on earth am I here for? But those of us who are following Christ, we have another question we got to answer, which is this: why in the world did God save me? You ever wonder about that? Why in the world did God save me? I know I needed saving. I know he's good and gracious, but why in the world did he save me? Was it just so that when I die, I could go somewhere good instead of somewhere bad, or is there something more substantial about it? You look at a verse like this from Acts 1:8, Jesus himself tells us why God saved you. He saved you so that you could know God, be known by God, and make him known. That's your purpose, Christ follower, is to make Jesus known. God created you and saved you so that you could know him, be known by him, and then make him known to the lost world around us. And here's the thing, church, he has big plans for you. He has big plans for me, and he has big plans for this church. And that's why our theme verse for this series comes out of Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, which says this: now to him, that's God, who's able, y'all say able, now to him who's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Just try to wrap your mind around that. Some of us, we've got small dreams about what God can do, and they need to get bigger. Some of us, we got big dreams about what God can do, but they're not big enough, because he's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. How? According to the power. Say power. According to the power that works within us. To him be glory, where? In the church. In the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Forever and ever, amen. Can you imagine what kind of impact you could have, I could have, we could have as a church if we allowed God to unleash the power of his Spirit in us? The ripple effect of that would impact generations to come. I mean, some of us, we have a hard time just thinking about what's going on next Friday, right? Like, God wants to impact generations to come, your kids, your kids' kids, your kids' kids' kids, right? Generations to come. We get to be a part of something like that. So let me give you a couple practical steps for Unleashed as we wrap up our time together this morning. The first one is this: attend a life group. So we did a whole three-week series on the importance of community. And throughout this series of Unleashed, we're going to be giving exclusive content to our life group leaders that you can't get anywhere else but in a life group. And so if you want to get the most out of this, if you want to see God work through you in a way you can't imagine now, you're going to have to get into a life group for over at least the next 6 weeks, and God willing, go on after that, because it's just good for your soul. All right, but get in a life group. And so if you're not connected to life group community, I'd love to help you get connected, but I want you to know that on Wednesday evenings here in the Fellowship Hall, we're going to have on-campus groups through this Unleashed series. And so you can just come here at 6 o'clock. We have dinner, all right, great people to be around, and then we're going to be walking through this exclusive content there. So attend a life group. Read your Unleashed book. Read your Unleashed book. This book unpacks all the information that you're going to want to know about this series. There's even a whole couple pages dedicated to FAQs. You'll see our primary goal, 100% engagement. Our secondary goal, to raise, through the generosity of the people who call Rush Creek home, $22 million over the next 24 months. Crickets. Yeah. That's a big number, right? That's a big vision. That's why it's going to take every single person who calls Rush Creek home to accomplish that. All right, so hang on to this book. Read through this book. Bring this book back. You're going to need it every week. Bring it to Life Group. You're going to need it there. By the end of this 6 weeks, this thing should be falling apart, all right? It should be falling apart because it's got so much use over the 6 weeks, okay? Speaking of 6 weeks, don't miss a single week. Don't miss a single week of this series. You don't want to miss a single week, all right? Now, I don't know what plans you have on Sunday mornings over the next 6 weeks, but if it's not be here for the Unleashed series, just go ahead and cancel those plans. You still have plenty of time, and make sure you're here for this series. Commitment Sunday is going to be on November 12th, and then we're going to have weekly prayer throughout this series. So your lead team and your staff at Rush Creek and several of the leaders, like life group leaders and stuff, we've been praying for this series now for a long time. But now that it's finally here, we want to open up that invitation of prayer to everybody. All right, and so we're going to have a prayer initiative. It's going to be on Wednesdays. You'll receive info about that through social media and through some push notifications and other things. But Wednesdays, when you get notified about prayer, we just want you to take a moment, no matter what you're doing, just take a moment to spend time in prayer and ask God to unleash his power, grace, and glory through you and through everyone who calls Rush Creek home. All right? Listen, church, there's certain moments in history that are so significant, they reshape what's possible. They redirect the trajectory of the future, and this is one of those moments for us. Let's pray together. God, we praise you this morning because, first of all, you created us. You are our creator, and so you're worthy of all of our praise. You're worthy of all of our adoration, and you're worthy of our heart's complete commitment. We praise you also because you sent Jesus, your son, to pay the ultimate sacrifice, to give up his life so we who were dead in sin could be made alive in him. And we praise you because you're able and willing to go above and beyond whatever we ask or think. You have plans and dreams for us and for this church that we can't even conceive. They're so big and glorious. And so today is the beginning, Father, of a new journey for us, a new day for us. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, for your presence, for your touch on each of us, that you would help us to turn our eyes to Jesus and to seek your will for each of us through this next season. God, you are good and worthy. As our ushers come forward to receive our offering today, God, I pray that we would give in response to your great grace, that we would give cheerfully, Father, and that you would take what we have and that you would just multiply it to make an impact on the world around us for the glory of your good name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.